Thank you to the Lubin family. We they don't fight much upstairs. They don't. Okay, so that's a good thing. Amen. Now, we may have kept them up a few times because we're like old married people, you know? Okay, all right. And in all honesty, in my house, I get the last word. Always. Yes, ma'am. Okay. Happy wife, happy life. But we do honestly, sincerely want to say thank you. Thank you for the time being here. Thank you for your faithfulness in coming. We know that some of you schedule is crazy. But think of this. No matter how crazy it is right now, no matter, maybe we don't like what's going on, or we don't appreciate some of the things that's happening and all that, and finances and health and all that. Just take this one thought home. We get all this in heaven too. But folks, right now, out there today, is the best they'll ever have. We need to reach folks while we still can. Amen? Amen. Okay? And I trust that you do carry gospel tracts. And I trust that you do give out gospel tracts. And even if you're not in New York, look, people can get saved in New Jersey too. All right? And have you ever seen the little gospel tract from Mercy and Truth that says how to get to heaven from New York? I'll carry those all over the world. You know, I'll go to California and say, now this works in New York. I don't know if it works here or not. And I'll say, well, maybe it does, you know. Amen. Okay. Well, we want to say thank you. We've enjoyed it. We've appreciated it. And I hope that it'll be a help and encouragement to you. So, here we go. We're going to backtrack now. Notes. How many of you brought your notes back? Okay. You brought your notes back? Okay. All right. Anybody need a set of notes? Anybody need a set of notes? Okay. We can catch that side. Anybody else need a set of notes? You need a set of notes. Okay. Here we go. Yes, sir. Anybody else need a set of notes? Okay. Anybody else? But okay. So you that brought your notes back, good, because these people, it's $10. All right. Anybody else need a set of notes? All right, they'll catch you on the flip side over there. You want to hand those? All right. Anybody else need another set? We got them. Okay. Very good. Here we go. All right. Yeah, free notes, only $10. We're still on the first page, folks. And anything you want to fill in, if you just go to the bottom of page 5, all their fill-ins there. We as teachers, we as Christians, we do have a responsibility in fulfilling needs. I am not a, social gospel. I'm not into social gospel, but yet I think we need to be social. Amen. Social gospel, you say, well, what's the difference? Social gospel is the concern, the emphasis is on the social and not on the gospel, though they might add the gospel. Amen. But folks, we need to be an encouragement, a help, a blessing, and a provider to others. Amen. All right. And if we have an opportunity to be a blessing, look at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 6. Hebrews 6, verse 10. Look at Galatians 6, 10. Also, you can look at those. And we have an opportunity to be a blessing. And what did Jesus do? He fed people. He watered people. He healed people. And then he introduced people to his Father. Okay? All right. Okay. But we have an opportunity to fill needs with people. And if we see folks in need, it is important that the Holy Spirit speaks to us. We need to follow through. And our kids need that. Those kids out there need that. Adults need that. There's a lot of people tonight who are in need, but most folks are in need of the gospel. And we want to get an opportunity to share that with them. So we're looking at the pie. And if you were here with us Sunday night, we sang some songs. And it was minuscule what we sang, okay? There are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of songs. And again, you say, well, I'm not musically wired. Then you need someone in your class who is. Now, I don't know who is or who isn't here in this church. Okay? And there's sometimes people say, we only have one person who could really fill that need. Easy. Then what you do is something called round robin. If you teach everybody a unified Sunday school, everybody gets the same lesson, but at their level, whatever that level might be, all right? And you have songs that are connected to the theme of that. That song person goes to class, to class, to class, to class, and does the songs. That's one way of doing it. If you only have one. If you only have one, you can have a collective meeting of Sunday school and do the songs and then go on to classes. Folks, we need to think outside of the box. We get so regimented. We get so, you know, this is the way you have to do it. Who says that's the way we have to do it? Amen. Okay? We need to be smarter than the box. Amen? Okay? Get out of the box. Get out of the box. And let's do what we need to do to make it work. I told you what happened to our church and what we did in a parking lot. And the children's ministry grew and grew and grew. It was uncomfortable. It was not fun. It was scorching hot in the summer. It was freezing cold in the winter. But yet the children came. They're resilient. Now, adults, they're fuddy-duddies. They got to have everything so-so. All right? Or they're just not happy campers. Children are resilient. And they can put up with that. And we can do whatever we need to do to get the job done. Amen. So, teaching with one thought. That is, okay, all right. And one thought, one principle, one idea. It'd be better that children leave our classrooms knowing a little bit and knowing it than a lot of bits of nothing. All right? And so line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. So we're looking at just the opening tonight. And you need to have a greeting. A child should never walk into a classroom and you're not there. The light should be on, and everything's set up, and you need to be there. Talk to people. Find out how it's been for them. Be a blessing to them. It's a teaching time. Come up here, Timmy. Come up here. Come on, buddy. Okay? So shake my hand the way you did the first time. When we met a while ago. Do it the way you did it a while ago. No, come on, do it. How did you do it? The first time you shook my hand. No, that's not how you did it the first time. Here's how he's doing it the first time. Is that a man's handshake? No. Here's a man, squeeze my hand, look me in the eye, and smile. That's a man's handshake. You know what we're doing? We're teaching. We're teaching. But if you're not in a classroom and you don't greet him, you can't do that. All right? Okay? So we're teaching from the moment when we get there, things are going, things are moving, things are set up. So we're going to look at this the pie tonight in the opening. How can I be effective? The question was asked Friday night, I believe. Said 168 hours in a week. We get these children 2, 3, maybe 4 hours a week. Their family gets them the rest of the time. Well, there is a correction to that. The family could have them some of the time, but they don't get them the rest of the time. Okay? The school system gets them. The fact of the matter is the school system gets them longer than the family gets them, even if that family did spend their time with them. All right? Okay? And so the fact of the matter is the world has more opportunity to connect with your children than we do. So if we're going to be effective, if we're going to have an effect, we better be effective. Amen? We need to, and I know some of you say, well, we homeschool and stuff. You're fooling yourself if you think the world is still not affecting your child. The world still is affecting them. All right? And as we're out and about, and it has an effect on our children. You by the way, you cannot raise them in a greenhouse. If you try to do that, you will produce an isolationist. And once you produce an isolationist, they become totally ineffective in Christian testimony. The Bible says that we ought to be a testament, not only in word, but in conversation. Okay? That's what we say, and that's what we do. Paul, writing to a young preacher boy, Timothy, he said, be thou what? An example. All right? Okay? And first, it's in word and in conversation. All right? So we can't produce greenhouse Christians. It's been tried, doesn't work. So we want to teach by themes. Teach by themes. Tell me a children's program that you probably are all very familiar with, at least by name, maybe not by function, perhaps, but it is 100% theme-based. Anybody know what that program is? Television program. Anybody? Anybody? Oh, I know you would. What is it? No. Somebody else? What is it? Sesame Street. How many years old is it now? Close to 30. Okay. Close to 30 years old. And each day is brought to you by a letter and a number. Okay? But the whole thing is what? Theme-based. All right? They'll spend a whole session and just talk about the letter A and the number 2. Okay? It's what? Theme based. All right? And so I'm not saying we become Sesame Street. I made this statement earlier. It's very interesting. When I get introduced to preachers, most times they're here's a preacher and a preacher. It just happened just a couple of days ago. I was with Brother Dykes. I met a man. Brother Dykes introduced me. He said, Brother Gear, here's in Children's Ministries. Oh. I'm used to it, but I don't like it. All right? You say, why do they do that? Because most people in children's ministry is all about entertainment. It's amazing. I'm not against people who tie balloons. I'm not. Blessings on you if you tie balloons. All right? But that's what most people think about people in children's ministries. Oh, do you tie balloons? Nope. I don't. Okay? I don't do that. Am I against tying balloons? I am not. But most people in children's ministries today are thought of nothing more than just an entertainment program. Folks, we're not out to entertain them. But if we could learn to teach by themes, Jesus taught by themes. He taught parables. Earthly stories, heavenly meaning. He took something they understood and made a connection of a spiritual truth with that. That's a theme. All right? Okay? So themes are okay, but we get away from themes. And the reason we get away from themes is because we're used to somebody handing us a piece of paper and we don't get out of the box. We're stuck. All right. Can I also tell you there is a severe danger, a huge danger, a terrible danger in doing that as you produce a rut. And once you produce a rut, you get stuck in the rut. And what happens? Our kids already know where we're going. And they just know what's next. And they turn their little brains off. And they begin to entertain themselves. And then you find agitation. You find children talking to each other. You find children who constantly have to go. All of a sudden, bladder problem. All right? Several times. Another danger I see this is we see children, when the salvation message is given, they will raise their hand time after time after time after time. You say, why is that? By the way, even if they do, we still talk to them. Because somewhere down the road, that's going to connect. Okay? But the fact of the matter is, we ought to make this so clear that they understand that they get born again, they get saved, and then we can do what Hebrews chapter 6 says. We can leave the doctrine of Christ and go on to perfection. All right? Theme teaching will help you, the teacher, and it will help the student because it allows both now to focus. All right? Okay. So, but one thought or principle, and again, I mentioned we need to get back to principle teaching. Folks, leave your pet peeves and the issues alone. It really doesn't matter what I think. Amen. It doesn't. What does matter is what does God think? That's what matters. And we need to get back to that and leave our peeves and issues alone, because we're not going anywhere with that. And you ever try to convince somebody else that you're right? Have you had much success in that? No. You never will. Listen, don't argue with people. Don't argue with people. All right? State the facts. Use a smile. Be kind. Be a blessing. And what? Heap coals of fire on their head and let the Holy Spirit do the work. Amen. Okay? It's not our work. He's just using us. All right. But use many different methods. Now we're going to talk about work. What we do what?
Together.
Oh, that's lame. What we do what?
Together.
That's still lame. What we do what?
Together.
And many hands make what?
Light
work. You know what? We need to learn to work together. In this room is an incredible wealth of life experience. In this room is an incredible wealth of creativity. In this room is an incredible wealth of personality. In this room is an incredible wealth of available of things that time, your time, your talents, and your what? And your treasures. Amen. Okay? All right? And so we need to get to this methods thing. We learn to multiply by dividing. It's not a good thing to say, folks, if you do this, you'll find it works. That's not good to say that. But if we will begin to apply these things, we see growth. We have done over 300 vacation Bible schools. And we've done them all over the world. We've done them in the big city. We've done them in deep rural. Right? We've done them in rich neighborhoods. We've done them in the poorest of the poor third world countries. We don't give them anything. We don't say, if you come, I give you a candy. We don't give out candy. Somebody came and asked me Sunday, should we get the snacks and stuff ready? No. We don't do snacks. Okay? I call them puppy treats. Okay? If you give me good behavior, I'll flip you a candy. Now, folks, I'm not against candy. Right? Okay? I had a piece of candy yesterday. I didn't tell you that, did I? Okay? But if we can learn to apply these things, you will have growth. All right? You will. You will. Why? Because if we have something that children enjoy, they come back. And if they have something they enjoy, not only will they come back, but they will invite somebody else. Kids don't invite people to things that they don't enjoy. They keep hoping they'll come up with something to invite them. All right? So if we have a program that'll do that, well, if we have the, not only should we be training students, but we should be training teachers. If you send your child to a public school, that teacher had to go through 4 years, at least 4 years, of instruction, right? Do you know how we come up with a Sunday school teacher? We just check to see if they have a pulse. Amen. Okay? Now, look, we need to be training teachers. Amen? Because if you have classes that grow, you're going to have to split that class. Because if you don't, it becomes too crowded. And we're talking about Sunday school scenario as opposed to a children's church. Children's church is a whole different scenario in its approach. But in a Sunday school, if the crowd gets too big, the dynamics of it begin to break down. All right? And it's not pleasant. And things don't, you start getting hiccups in the whole system. Okay? And so what do we need to do? Well, we need to split that class. Well, if we just now go find somebody with a pulse, all right, and give them a class, we are just very possibly setting that class up now for what? Failure. All right? Okay? So we need to be training students and teachers at the same time. You're never on time unless you're early. By the way, preacher never said anything, but I'm going to say it one more time. You're never on time unless you're what? Early. You're never on time unless you're what? Early. Okay? All right. Now, and look, I understand, okay? You guys live in New York City. Well, not really. You guys live in Long Island, okay? You and I both know it's not the same here as it is across the street. Okay? That's, how far is it? 2 blocks? 3 blocks? Half a mile? Something. Okay? All right? That's a whole other world over there. Okay? And, but, you know, if we just leave a little earlier, if you plan to be late, guess what? You will be. All right? Just be a little earlier. Just be a little earlier. Say, well, we do everything, then make some changes. So you can be what? Early. Okay? So you should be there before your students are there. Amen? You can come in and pray. I sit a lot in that chair. And I come in and sit in that chair, and lights turned off, and I just sit there, and it's a good time to pray for the classes and a good time to pray for you folks and the Lord leading and just what? Be prepared. Okay? But everything's set up. Everything's ready to go. We need to do that. And then plan for every moment. So we talked about on Saturday, actually we talked about on Friday. Friday night, I asked this question. If there's any one thing that you would like to teach the children, what would it be? And the first thing that was brought up was, second thing? The second thing was what? Obedience. All right? And I know that, and listen, it's the signs of the times. Children today are not listeners. They're not listeners because they are lookers. We don't live in a listening world today. We live in a looking world today. We live in a world that's based on sight, not on hearing. And the other thing is don't we know children all have their rights, and then you're not my boss, and I don't have to listen to you. And they know their rights, okay? My dad would say, son, you have the right to keep your mouth shut and do as you're told. And he enforced it. My dad had a saying, son, I will tell you once and I will hit you twice. Okay? And he was good for that. Okay? So guess what I learned to do when I was very, very, very young? I learned to listen. All right? By the way, that helped me in school because I could listen to the teachers, and when it came time to take the test, I knew the answers, even though the teacher was, never mind. But anyway, okay? So as a group, I don't know, sit down with your pastor. What would you like your kids to learn? What would you like to be able to teach them? You're probably going to, whatever that is, I don't know what it might be, but you're probably going to struggle. I would almost guarantee you're not going to find a curriculum that's going to teach what you want taught. It might mention it, but there's a whole lot of difference between mention and learning. Okay? Right? So sit down. And so here's just some themes, okay? And I'm not saying these are what you should teach. I'm just saying these are some ideas that we sit down and we taught. Importance of the Bible, when we actually sit down and wrote our first lesson, this is the first one we wrote. We also feel it's very strong, very strongly that you should pick a theme and teach that theme for only 4 to 5 weeks. There's 4 to 5 weeks in a month. And then you go on to something completely different. You say, why is that? 13 weeks gets old. It just does. A new theme, a new lesson, at the beginning of a new quarter, you're all excited. But by the time 13 weeks rolls around, it needs a haircut. It needs a shave. It's gotten old, all right. And so if we can keep things to 4 to 5 weeks, that also keeps you busy. That keeps you fresh. When you're busy and you're fresh, and it's not just a teacher. We talked about having 3 teachers. We think that is a principle. The number 3 is a good number. 3-fold cord is not easily broken. The Trinity is 3s, okay? An important thing, all right? So these are just some themes. We're going to look at something real important here. We need to be done at what time, preacher? Remind me again. 8:30? Okay, good enough. All right? By the way, Thanksgiving's coming up. Do you know the Thanksgiving story? Do you really know it? I'm not just talking about, you know, the pilgrims. And have you ever actually sit down and studied all of that? Last year, the pilgrims came in 1620. Last year was the 400th year of the Pilgrims Landing. This coming November is the 401st year of the first thing. That's their first year. It's the first Thanksgiving. This is the 400th year. 401 years ago they were here, but it's 400 years ago. This coming November is the celebration of the first Thanksgiving. Listen, you ought to study about Squanto, yeah, and Massasoit, and Samoset, you got to read on how God had His hand perfectly in the design of all of that. It's incredible. It's incredible. We look at it very shallowly often. Okay? And so it's just an incredible story. Anyway, character, my wife sang this song Sunday night, "Let's Build Character and All We Say and Do. Diligent, responsible, initiative, generous and honest too." All right? That's where that same song came from. And so anyway, we tell our children, don't speak to strangers. And we ingrain that in them from little bitty. When will they become a soul winner? When you ingrain in them, do not talk to people. Right? What we need to teach our children is discernment. Right? Not silence. Right? Right? Anyway. So, those are some themes. Now then, here's a theme. We need to dialogue now. Right? And we are going to do this. Right? And teachers, you need to get back to this. Do not let your classrooms become open forums. Nobody learns in that. That's chaos. Okay? That's anarchy. That's what that is. All right? Okay? And we need to teach government, and a very simple form of government is, I'm the teacher, you're the students. That doesn't mean I'm better than you. Doesn't mean that they're less than I. But there needs to be a hierarchy of things. All right? There does. But that's one of the reasons why youth today, they hate authority. Okay? Because we've allowed society to dictate them that they have their rights. Yeah, no, they don't, no. All right? So, let's look at this picture. Well, just looking at that picture, you tell us, you tell me, what are some possible things that we might teach from that? And we might have to, can we just turn one more set of lights off? Is that possible? There are just some things you might not be able to see. It's a little dark. That picture's old. Is that any better? We can make it just a little darker. Okay, somebody, tell me just by looking at that picture. Is that better? Okay, all right. Just looking at that picture, tell me something you might teach. Just tell me something you might teach. Yes, ma'am. Teamwork. Together, everybody accomplishes more. Acts chapter 2. They were all in one accord. If you look at that all in one accord, you find out it was not only physically, it was mentally and spiritually as well. Okay? Wasn't just one thought here. No, it was they were all together in one accord. Okay? All right? Okay, good. All right? So teamwork. Excellent. Excellent. Yes, sir. Discipline. Ooh, that's a good one. Amen? Okay? Anybody here in football? Anybody here played football when you were in high school? All right? And did you have to do two-a-days? In the summer, August, you would go out there and have a practice in the morning and practice in the evening, spend the first two or three days on the sideline puking your guts out, didn't you? Yeah, because you were a naughty boy during summer, eating hamburgers and Cokes. Okay? All right? Okay, teamwork. Excellent. Excellent. Discipline. Bible says that we ought to endure hardness as a what? Good soldier. By the way, that's also in the context of a teacher. Second Timothy 2:2-3. All right? Good. What else? Something else. Oh, there's much more. Oh, so much more. Come on. Somebody jump in there. Water's fine. Somebody? Yes, sir. Strength. Amen. Good. Yes, sir. Obedience. Excellent. Okay. Yes, sir. Okay. See this guy over here in the red? Ephesians chapter 6. It talks about the Helmet of what? Salvation. Notice what I have here. A helmet. And then it talks about the breastplate of righteousness. So this guy's got some shoulder pads on, but it's also padded here. Okay? Our loins girt about with truth. You can't see it, but he has pads here. Okay? And it says our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You can't see it, but what does he have on? Cleats. All right? So we use Ephesians chapter 6, but notice I have a football player there. The whole theme is what? If you just looked at the theme, it's what? Somebody? The whole theme, just point blank, what is that thing? It is what? What is a vehicle? What is it? It's football. By the way, what would be an excellent month to teach this lesson? September. This is football month. All right? Okay? And it's on everybody's brain. Football. Okay? Now, the armor of God, Ephesians chapter 6. By the way, I did the armor of Ephesians chapter 6 years ago with teens. I went down to a police station and I borrowed a riot helmet. I was a chaplain at the PD, and so I could borrow equipment and stuff, so I borrowed a riot helmet. And then I studied about this riot helmet. What's it made of, and why does it have this shape, and what's it do, and all those kinds of things. And I brought that in, and then I talked about, you know, my head protected. Okay? I know that I'm saved. Jeremiah asked me the other day, why am I wearing a helmet? Well, you know what? We can go to school our whole life and get knowledge, and bump our head, bink, and that knowledge is gone forever. That's why I wear a helmet. Okay? All right? When I ride a bicycle. Good enough. All right? Something else we can teach. Something else we can teach. There's lots more. Lots more. How about... Yes, ma'am. Oh, I like that. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. A time for what?
Every season.
Every season. Ooh, good. I like it. Yes. What is it? Obstacles. Yep. Obstacles. How about identification? The uniform. Our dress is important. Amen? It tells us whose team we're on. Amen? Okay. How about following the playbook? Okay. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. By the way, they have to memorize those plays. All right? And by its numbers too. Okay? All right? And so what else could we possibly teach? There's much more. Yes. Oh, when you get saved, there's what? Conflict. Join the team. Boom. Conflict. Amen? Before I got saved at the age of 23. And before I got saved, I didn't have conflict. After I got saved, the war started. Okay? Before I was saved, I just did what I wanted to do. If I found resistance, I just go a different way, go do something else. All right? Okay? So, a lot we can teach. Now, you know what that takes? Work. Now, there's a lot of elements. This was a screen, overhead projector. We used some things in that. Good teaching tool. Okay? We used 4 weeks, 4 quarters in a football game. We had 2 different teams. Okay? The Crusaders, and I don't remember the other team, what they called themselves, and they named themselves. Okay? And, of course, this poster that we made. Then we had the Ephesians. We had the young man who came in a football uniform each week. We used him as an example. We had a reinforcement game here. We had another game here. And so we had lots of different elements as far as teaching methods. Okay? That stuff we had to go produce. That's stuff we had to go find. That's stuff that we had to sit down and brainstorm and put all that together. All right? And it turned out to be just an incredible, incredible lesson. It was good. It was 4 weeks long. All right? And then we went on to something totally different. Good. That's a children's church. Here's a lesson. And you tell me the lesson. One character in this is age appropriate. Anybody tell us what the Bible lesson is? Yes, ma'am. King Josiah. And the lesson is the importance of the Bible. Now, we can teach this to older kids, but this actual lesson is written for little bitty kids. And the little bitty kids, they absolutely love it. All right? And it's teaching them the importance of the Bible. I know some have said, you know, getting kids to bring their Bible to church. We got our son, when he's a little bitty guy, a little teeny Gideon Bible, those little pocket Bibles. That was his Bible, and he was responsible to carry that to church. All right? Why? Because it's important. You say, could he read? No. That's not the point. The point was that we placed value in that Bible and responsibility for him to respect the value of that. Okay, we'll come back to this here in just a little bit. All right? This is a missions conference for children. Lord willing, the last week in October, we're doing a missions conference for children. And we've done many, 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 many of these through the years. And it is missions at their level. And these children learn to give, and these children learn to appreciate missions. All right? And listen, if we started at a very, very, very young age, can I tell you something? When they get older, when you have a missions conference, they view missions a lot different than those people who started old and went from there. All right? Okay? Children understand giving. And children are more giving than adults are, if you think about it. They really are. Okay? And they do like to give. And we need to encourage them. So this is a missions conference emphasis. Notice there's lots of things going on. All right? You need lots of things going on. And by the way, this goes, this missions conference was 4 nights. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. No. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Sunday. Yep, 4 nights. Okay. Here's a BBS. By the way, this is our theme for this year. Creation versus evolution. Okay. And the name of it is I Dig Dinosaurs. Okay. I'm no kin to a monkey. Monkey's no kin to me. I don't know much about your ancestors, but mine didn't swing from a tree. Amen? All right? And so, but again, lots of things going on. Lots of things going on. Suppose this guy would have your kids' attention if you walked in? Okay? This was I don't remember, they used this for children's church or Sunday school. It was children's church, okay? But could be Sunday school. So, the greatest gift you and I ever got was our salvation. Amen? Okay? And I'm glad it cannot be bought. It is a gift. You know, children don't understand a gift. Just some thoughts. A gift is given because somebody loves you or cares for you. Amen? Okay? A gift costs the receiver nothing, but a gift costs the giver everything. And a gift, once a gift is given, it cannot be taken back. Because if it be taken back, it's not a gift. All right? The principle. By the way, folks, if you give something to somebody, it's gone. Amen. If you give something to a child and your child misbehaves, for you to take that gift back, you totally destroy the whole thought of eternal security. Think about that. Once a gift is given, it's given. Amen. The other is not a gift. Just call it what it is. It's a bribe. Okay? I'm not bribed into heaven. I have a gift. Amen? All right? And so this guy walks in. So we have four other weeks. You can't quite see it, but there's a question mark up here in this corner right here. But giving of yourself, giving of your money, giving of your time. All right? And those are the sub-themes for the week. Again, lots of things going on. That just doesn't happen. You got to make it happen. That's pretty simple right there. But that's unlimited. This, by the way, is a camp. Okay? Can we just use some materials like this. I wore it. I wore this stuff right here. Okay? In fact, wasn't that set, but I wore something just like it. And we were just at a vacation Bible school in the other New York. One of the other New Yorks. There's four. There's New York City. There's Long Island. There's upstate. And there are a bunch of rednecks. And then there's Buffalo. Okay? All right? And so those boys, in fact, we used it at a camp the next week. Those little boys said, "Brother Keir, where did you get this?" Man, they wanted it. They said, "Can I buy it? Would you buy it? How much was it?" Those little boys wanted that so bad they wanted it. Okay? All right? You know, isn't that a good thing? Amen? That they associate that with it. It's just, man, I would love to have something like that. Okay? I want to tell you that's simple. Now, people will look at something like that and say, and going back to Josiah, let me just look at that real quick. Josiah, okay. People will look at something like that and say, you know, it takes money and stuff to make costumes, okay? And, let's just investigate that a little bit. Does it really cost that much? Okay? Jeremiah, you awake? Come up here. Okay? Come on up here, friend. Now, all this is simply a piece of fabric. That's all it is. Okay? Turn around, pal. We can turn the lights on now if you want. Maybe you can see a little better. Okay? And so it's just a piece of fabric. And get you fixed up there. Get you looking kind of kingly, you know what I mean? Okay. We'll have your sister come up and say, "Sir." Okay. You know, you can go down and buy yourself a crown. One size fits all. Amen? Okay. And if this doesn't fit, if it's still a little bit too big, I know this friend that lives in the jungle that can make your head fit the crown. Did you get that? Never mind. Okay? You know what? If nothing else, you can go to Burger King and get a paper one. Amen? Okay? So now you have a Josiah. Now that wasn't difficult. It wasn't expensive. But it will take you some time in preparing before the class. Amen? Okay? Hold that thought. We as adults, we think if we're going to do costumes, that's a lot of money. That's expensive. That's going to take time to go gather the materials and find the places to get those kind of things and all that kind of stuff, right? Adults have this idea that if you're going to do something costume, you're just talking about, we're talking about a lot of time and money here. We as adults think in different terms than a child does. A child can take the simplest thing. You ever play with a box? You ever had a big box? What did that big box let you? Did that big box let you go to the moon? Did that little box let you be an army tank? Did that little box become a fort? A box. Amen? We need to get out of the box. We need to think outside that box, okay? And so it doesn't take a lot of time. It doesn't take a lot of effort and money. It really doesn't. You know what it just takes? Some initiative. Amen? It just takes some simple initiative. And it's really not that difficult. Honestly, it's not. Shaphan, the scribe. I have a scroll, and now we can explain to the children what is a scroll. How did the scrolls get written? Okay? How important was it that Hilkiah the high priest, he realized what he had, he gave it to Shaphan, Shaphan took it to the king, and the king realized what he had in his hand, and he had all the people sit and listen. Amen? Stand listening to what? The scriptures as they were read. You know, folks, it doesn't take much time to do all that. It really doesn't. But it takes time in advance. It takes planning in advance. Amen? You say, does that embarrass you to be in that? No. Not at all. It does tickle my nose, though. It does. Okay? All right? And so, Edith, go the extra mile. Take the initiative. Have fun. Make your class so wonderful. Those kids, they have got to be back. They want to be back. And they'll bring somebody with them. Amen? Amen? Okay. Questions? It's yes, sir.
We have a supply of Bibles, so they all have the same one.
Thank you, buddy.
And we had this debate whether the kids should have their own and take it home. And it was just more dependable, reliable to always have a supply handy.
Okay. We need to train our children that that Bible is important to them, and they need to be responsible for it. And if all we do is... I taught teens when I first... went out of Bible college, went on staff. We had a huge school, big school. And I noticed that all the teenagers for Sunday morning would go to their locker in the school and get their Bible. And as soon as Sunday school was over, they'd put their Bible back in the locker. And they wouldn't see their Bible again until they got back to class on Monday. All right? We need to train them young. All right? Anybody else? Good question. Appreciate that. Somebody else? Okay. Yes, sir.
Okay.
Do you hear the question? You know, is there a breaking point? There's no breaking point by age, but there is a breaking point by attitude. All right? Look, I'll be 70 next year. All right? And I don't have the energy I used to have. Not even close. Okay? People still look at me and think I'm hyperactive. They should have seen me when I was 50. It was frightening. Okay? And even 65. I had cancer surgery and COVID just boom, boom. That took the wind out of my sails. Do I think I'll ever get it back? No. Okay? But you know what? I tell people all the time, look, I'm too young to quit. I'm too young to quit. But I will tell you a breaking point is your attitude. All right? And I tell people all the time, you need to make sure you find your niche. Now, if your niche is not in that classroom, then help the teachers prepare for that classroom and you still have a part. Okay? So, whether you're 70 or not, you can still have a part. And these teachers could sure use a hand. They could use a hand financially. They could use a hand in preparing things. They could perhaps use a hand in creativity, and thought and input. Right? Doesn't necessarily mean that you have to be the teacher or you even have to be in the classroom. But folks, you have a vested interest. What we do what?
Together.
Oh, come on. What we do what?
Together.
Okay. The Sunday school teacher is not the flame in the lighthouse of Bible Baptist Church of Elmont. Church, you are. Amen?
Good.
Amen. Good. Anybody else? Question? Did I answer your question? Anybody else? Going once, going twice, going three times. Yes, sir? Okay. Excellent question. So, I mentioned to you we've done 300 BBSs, all right? And my wife and I used to do a BBS in the morning, 3 hours for children, and then we would do a 3-hour BBS at night for teenagers. So we did that for 25 years, all right? And both those programs grew, and we're talking about bringing kids from out there. And with teenagers, we just played crazy games with them, but we still illustrate stuff. Okay, this is an incredible tool, but folks, that won't make you a teacher. It won't. Okay, but you, the teacher, can use that as an incredible tool. People have thrown away overhead projectors. Overhead projectors are a good tool. I like science. I love chemistry. I love physics. And there are things that I can use in that to illustrate, to make a point. Object lessons, and teenagers love that. Teenagers would not be... if I dressed up like that, they'd get tickled with that. Okay? And would I require them to do that? No. Okay? But I could tickle them. I can get a laugh out of them. And because I do that, and I'm willing to bring myself down, I just gain their respect. Okay? Let's not be too sophisticated with elders. Right? The fact of the matter is, every man in here is still a boy. The saying goes, the only difference between men and boys is the size and price of their what? Toys. Amen, fellas. Sorry. Let the cat out of the bag. Okay? But teens don't have a problem with that. We'll bring in hundreds of teenagers from off the street. These are rough kids. These are really rough kids. And we bring them off the streets and I wish I could show you. We could find some of it for you. We sing some of the craziest songs. And those teenagers, they go ballistic over it. I mean, we're talking about songs that's just... They see themselves and they think it's hilarious, okay? But we're all just doing it together. Right. It's a positive thing. It's not a negative thing. They love it, okay? And so, did I answer your question? Okay. Get out of the box. Get out of the box. Get out of the box. I'm a Bible college graduate also, okay? And I learned... We both are, and we just learned that, you know what, you can't that's a book, and we're dealing with people. All right?
Is there any kind of follow-up work we do?
I'm sorry?
Is there any
Oh, we believe that every Sunday school student should get a visit from his or her teacher at least once a month. We see that in growth. And then if you take, I've already mentioned this, you take a child who is the most troublesome child in the classroom. I mean, trouble. And you take that same child and place him in front of a two-hour DVD, that child disappears for 2 hours. And that child, at the end of that DVD, never seen it before, first time, knows the storyline, the characterization, the music by heart. Bam. As soon as the DVD's over, the child goes crazy again. Okay? So if we have classrooms that has their attention because they like it, they're learning, they're growing, they'll be back. Right? So I'm not asked this question, so I'm going out on a limb. Sunday morning, who was in there with us? Sunday morning, you were with my wife and I. Sunday morning. Sunday morning, you're with my wife and I in children's church. Let me ask you, I've not asked it. What was the children's behavior any different? Yes or no? Yes or no? Yes. Why? We had their attention. Okay? Children grow because they learn what they're interested in. Did I answer your question? All right. Somebody else? Thank you, folks. We appreciate you. Did you hear what she said? If you were in there with us Sunday morning in the children's church, if you look at the pie, you'll see many of those pieces, many of those things that we did. The attention getter, who was the attention getter? Who was it? Bill. Right? Okay. Did they like Bill? Yes, they love Bill. Okay. All right. And so anyway, you'll see those things in there. Thank you very, very, very much. We appreciate it. Now then, we ought to be doers of the word, not... Now get out there and do it. Look, it's just us. It's you. You have a whole lot more potential than we do. We can do this. By the way, if you fail, a just man falls 7 times, rises up again. You fall down, get up. Amen? And let's not be guilty of kicking each other. Just get up, dust yourself off. All right? Bible says if someone falls, what a blessing for someone to pick them what? Up. How good and pleasant is it for brethren to dwell together in unity. All right. Thank you. Appreciate it. Appreciate it.